Song of Songs, also known as the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, commencing at verse 8. The voice of my beloved. Look, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the covert of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He pastures his flock amongst the lilies, until the day breathes and the shadows flee. Turn, my beloved, be like a gazelle or a young stag on the cleft mountains."
We join in prayer. Lord God, we offer you this time. May what is said ring with truth. May what is heard be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us all towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. It doesn't always do to talk about things directly, but sometimes it does. Once upon a time, little could be said. Lady Chatterley's lover was banned and the publisher put on trial. The Lord Chamberlain vetted just about everything shown on the stage in this country. There was very rigid film censorship, and films were categorised according to age. Today, little is left to the imagination, not in the theatre, films, books, not especially on the internet, where just about anything goes. And maybe that is an understandable reaction against the restrictions of an earlier time when nothing much could be said at all. Mind you, I remember back then how innuendo and double entendre and nod and a wink comedy had us in fits. I remember listening to episodes of Round the Horn with Kenneth Horne and Kenneth Williams and lots of others, and laughing like a drain at some of it, especially when those wonderful characters, the camp duo Julian and Sandy, appeared, talking about Omis and Palomis, and Varda and Eek and Lallys and Boner and Purge Yourself, Jules. They hadn't said anything really, but you just knew. But these days there is no need for that kind of innuendo anymore, because just about anything can be said. I wonder how, if that was how it was with the Song of Songs down all the centuries. In August, we're going to be having a look at some of the obscure bits of the Bible, starting with the Song of Songs. Our reading this morning was about the only bit that could be read out in church without making us all squirm with embarrassment. You might want to read the rest of it when you get home. The Song of Songs is a series of love poems between a man and a woman. Much of it is very earthy, quite fruity in parts. It's a bit awkward. It's not the kind of thing you would expect to be read out in church very much. But here's the thing. Down all the centuries, not in Judaism nor in Christianity, was it ever thought possible that you could just remove it or change it, like you might censor a fruity passage in a modern novel, or bowdlerize Shakespeare, or slap an 18 certificate on a raunchy film. Imagine if you did. Imagine if you had to put up an adults only sign outside the church before a service in which the Song of Songs was going to be used. Judaism and Christianity have kept the Song of Songs in the Bible. In parts of Judaism, the Song of Songs is known as the most holy of all the books. Some rabbis take off their shoes before reading it. Imagine that. In some churches today, folks stand for the gospel reading because it is considered the very pinnacle of holiness, the story of Jesus, and it is to be heard with special reverence. Well, imagine if we so revered the hearing of the Bible that we took off our shoes before hearing it. Like Moses, you know, you're standing on holy ground. Imagine if we approached the reading of the Bible like that. Imagine if we did that with the Song of Songs. My soul failed me when I spoke. I sought him, but did not find him. Holy. You have ravished my heart with a glance of your eyes. Holy. He has brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. Holy. But as I say, it doesn't always do to talk about things directly. For all those centuries, the Song of Songs wasn't thought of as love poetry between men and women at all. In Judaism, it was thought of as a song about the love between God and his people Israel. And in Christianity, as a song about the love between Christ and his church. God being the man, well, it's obvious, really, and Israel, or the church, being the woman. There's plenty about that in the Bible, isn't there? God loving an unfaithful wife, as in the book of the prophet Hosea. New Jerusalem in Revelation at the very end of the New Testament, coming down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. A holy idea, the love of God for his people. Strong, passionate love, intense, intimate, warm, beautiful love. Like the Song of Songs. He has brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. Holy. Ours is a different age. So much that belonged to the former times has gone now. A church that had a stronghold over people's personal morality, gone in the time it takes to sue a priest for child abuse. A God whose every word and deed was taught in the nation's schools, gone in the blink of an eye and a multi-faith assembly. The the certainty of a creation in 7 days, and prayers heard by a God who lived just up there somewhere by the side of the moon, gone in the writing of a book on evolution and the sending of a rocket into near-Earth orbit. Gone. That old, certain, cozy, cradle-to-grave religious world. Good thing too, probably. Gone with it, all the decorum and the coyness of the not in front of the children, censored, age of innocence world. Probably good that most of that has gone. It was an age in which unmarried mothers were shamed and their babies often taken into care. It was an age in which homosexuals were cruelly treated and criminalized and often imprisoned and often chemically castrated. It was an age in which whispering and gossip and rumor were rife. An age in which scandals brought down government ministers and women were scarlet or no better than she should be. Not men, mind. Who back then could get away with the kind of sexist, misogynist behaviour that is everywhere now rightly condemned? Better today's world, surely, where everything can be said and shown in books and films and magazines and on the internet, where there are really no taboos left. Well, there are. Still, nobody talks very much about death or about their money, and we're only just waking up to the extent of child abuse in our society. But generally, today's world is more honest, don't you think? And in today's world, that the idea that there might be a holy book, so holy that you would have to take off your shoes in order to hear it read, a book that told about the love between God and his people in the way of a love poem between men and women, well, the very idea. Because now we can say more or less anything we want, as I say. It doesn't always do to talk about things directly, but then sometimes it does. Now. It does. Now we know that the Song of Songs is a love poem between men and women. It is full of strong, beautiful images, rich, evocative language in which God is never directly mentioned at all. In which the lovers get to revel in each other, in their feelings and passions and hopes and dreams. So I ask you, what would you prefer? Today's world, in which anything can be said and shown, and there are no secrets anymore, but it's a world in which not many people bother anymore with God, well, he can't be seen or explained, can he? And the only source of holiness is in this world, the only sources of holiness, the only sources of amazement and awe, the wildlife documentary. Sorry, the animals have all been hunted to extinction. The computer-generated image film. Sorry, next year's blockbuster is already being overtaken by the one after that. The love story. Sorry, it is being turned into pornography. Would you prefer that world or the old world in which not everything could be said or explained, in which life could often be very cruel, but in which God was a mystery and in which holiness could sometimes be found in the pages of a book? A book that talks about love. The love between God and his people. The love between Christ and his church, as Paul said, the greatest of these is love. As the Beatles sang, all you need is love. As Jesus said, by this shall all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It doesn't always do to talk about things directly, but then sometimes it does. Maybe it's enough to say, he led me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love.